WildTalkRadio.com.
Are you ready? No. You don't understand. I want to know. Are you ready?
For the thousands in attendance and for the millions not watching around the world, none of this is on television right now.
Let's get ready to suck it!
Wire Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw Post Show.
Come hell or high water, I am giving you Monday Night Raw. I am giving you a show tonight.
Featuring the likes of Sue Rockin.
Hi, Mom.
Lindsay Ward.
All of you men are simply intimidated. But most of all, men are intimidated by the fact that I have bigger balls than every man in this arena.
Interact with us live during the show and give us your takes on what you're for on Monday Night Raw.
I have received an email. The Raw General Manager says, and I quote...
Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Jane has got two words for you.
PWMania and MemLanePromo.com. I am Sir Rockin, joined as always by Lindsay Ward.
Ow, Roman, jeez. Sorry, I'm watching the recap of the Shield, or I'm watching the Shield Christian match on my TV, and when Roman and one of the Usos roll out of the ring and sort of just land on each other, ow. Anyway, hi!
Hi, everybody. This is the post show. We are live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And Daniel Bryan opened this interesting edition of Monday Night Raw. He talked about the burning question on everyone's mind that was finally answered. Is Daniel Bryan the weak link? Did crowd chant it? No. He noted he submitted Randy Orton, and he said there's a new question. Can he ride this wave of momentum to the Money in the Bank match and win the WWE title? The crowd responded with, yes.
Actually, they were kind of mixed.
Well, yeah, they were kind of mixed, but then they got a little bit more mixed when he said he wants to be a WWE champion like Bruno Sammartino, Hulk Hogan, Steve Austin, The Rock, and then a light response for Daniel Bryan as they screamed yes. And then, well, things got a little bit more, well, interesting.
Years ago, I won a Money in the Bank match and successfully cashed in to become the World Heavyweight Champion. And it's been far too long. And just because this Money in the Bank is filled with all-stars doesn't mean that history can't repeat itself. I will be WWE Champion!
It's been far too long since I've had a championship around my waist. And I'm not going to let you or anybody else stand in my way.
Just curious. Is there any way, if I call 1-800-FELLA, that you could come out here and bro-kick yourself in the face?
That was indeed a great line. Great line by Daniel Bryan. Alright, we continue.
That's pretty funny. I didn't know you had a sense of humor. I always thought trolls were supposed to be grumpy. You guys are out here arguing over how long it's been since you've each been champion. Well, it's been nearly 2 years since I've been champion. You see, I'm not hungry. I'm starving. And a starving man takes what he needs.
Get So basically, feed Orton more. Feed Orton more.
Is it wrong I wanted Kane to walk out at this point and be like, screw you all, it's been 14 years since I've held the WWE Championship and 3 since I held the World Heavyweight? Like, seriously? Am I the only one that wanted that?
Well, you...
Because he's got him...
Go ahead.
He's got him all beat, man.
Yeah, yeah, he does. Speaking of...
And I need the WWE title. I have no problem committing unspeakable acts against my opponents, even my so-called friends. Because it's every man for himself. No partners, no friends, only victims. Now it's like this. I might not be the biggest guy in this match. I might not be the strongest guy in this match. I might not be the scariest guy in this match. And I might not be the hairiest guy in this match. But you all should believe one thing. I am, without a doubt, the best.
Christian, I respect the hell out of you and everything you've accomplished in your career. But not only... But not only am I the best in the world, I'm the best at the Money in the Bank ladder match. I'm the only man who can say that he's won it twice. And very, very soon, I'll be the only man to be able to say that he's won it 3 times. The fact is, nobody can touch me in this ring. And I know how formidable the competition is. Rob Van Dam. You're fearless. You have no regard for your personal safety. You will do whatever it takes to climb that ladder and grab that briefcase. Randy.
Enough! I am sick of this. What are you going to do? Talk about each of us and then say how you're better than all of us? Yes. I don't want to hear another word from you. You say one more word and I will make you tap out faster than Randy Orton did last week.
Don't say I didn't warn you.
Hey, I don't need anybody fighting my battles for me, okay? I can do it myself.
And then we had a stare down between all other 6 men, other 5 men, rather, with Kane down on the ground after RKO. Interesting opening to the show, Lindsay.
It was an interesting opening, but something about it, even after hearing it again, after I've seen it now twice, something about it felt really off.
And I think it's sort of what we started discussing last night, and what I mentioned to you as we were watching the show. They don't know who to cheer for.
Yeah, what I think part of it was the crowd. I will definitely blame that. They were confused. But more than that, this felt very scripted. It was very apparent it was heavily scripted. And it didn't help that you had right before this the opening promo from Vicky Guerrero, where she basically announced it was going to be John Cena versus Alberto Del Rio, and that was very heavily produced. You could tell it was very heavily produced.
Right.
So, it just, these two, that segment and this segment, they both just felt very overdone, very, very scripted. I mean, even Punk just seemed off.
He seemed very, well, Punk. he seemed very WWE Punk, not Punk, the one we've been seeing for a long time.
Yeah, it's like he, you know, there was kind of sort of the repeat of the line from the very, very famous pipe bomb promo where he says, nobody can touch me in this ring.
Right.
And when he said it, there was just really nothing behind it. And it was just very, okay, I'm going to come out here, I'm going to say my lines, and that's all I'm going to do. And that's kind of how they all were. Although when Kane goes all evil, it does make my toes kind of curl. But, I mean, even the RKO at the end, it just felt really staged.
Yeah, I would agree. You could see it coming a mile away.
You could see it coming a mile away, and then after they did it, they all just kind of stood there.
You're like waiting
well,
for
Kane
some
is on
music.
The ground.
Yeah, Kane's on the ground, you think, oh, here comes music, here comes something, and there was nothing.
Yeah, and then they all just sort of...
left the ring.
Yeah, left the ring, and it's like, there's just this really, I don't know, something about it. It was nice, it was nicely done, there were some good zingers, there were some, you know, having them. It was also kind of confusing because initially you had them, it's like Brian came out to music, Orton came out to music, Kane got a promo, or got a pyro, but he didn't get music, and then nobody else got music.
Right.
So it's like they started to do the entrances, and then it's like, oh, screw it, we don't have time.
Yeah, pretty much. That's the way it seemed like to me. So, it was interesting. It was an interesting opening to the show.
Yeah.
I will say that. Now, what they began, as Lindsay mentioned, Vicky Guerrero did announce as the show started, we would see John Cena versus Alberto Del Rio in a champion versus champion match. And throughout the night, we were honoring past WWE champions and world heavyweight champions. Our first set of vignettes were Buddy Rogers and Lou Thesz. Nice little touch to make it seem important.
It really was. It was very nice. It was nice that they, you know, when it's like we're going to honor all the champions, they really did actually honor all the champions by going way back in history.
They went back in history, and this is for sure. Speaking of champions, we have the tag team champions and the U.S. champion heading to the ring. It's Dean Ambrose and Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns, a.k.a. The Shield. As they were scheduled to take on in a rematch from Friday Night SmackDown, Christian and the Usos. I'm going to say this, the Usos should not wear red face paint.
I'm going to say this, Dean's face after they showed the recap of them losing on SmackDown told the entire story.
It did. It really did. It really, really did. So we had a pretty good, solid matchup between these six men, and the Shield got their win back.
They did. They got their win back, and they didn't do it by nefarious means. They won somewhat fair and square, and I love how like Seth grabs all the belts, tosses them at Roman, and Roman just walks away with them like they weigh nothing. Like somebody posted that on Twitter, I'm like, or on a Tumblr, and I'm like, truth.
Truth right there.
But yeah, although it looked like Roman took that really nasty roll
off the
as
belly
I said at
belly.
The beginning of the show, off the top rope onto the floor. So I hope he's okay.
That was when he did the belly to belly?
I believe so, yes.
Yeah, when they both went over the top rope.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So that was a nice spot. By the way, there's one point in this match where they go, but if you missed it during the break, on the WWE app, you watched Roman Reigns give someone a big boot. That's why I want to get the app, to see a big boot.
You mean you don't have the app already?
I don't have the app already. I have to get it to watch big boots on the thing. It could be worse. I could download the app to watch a bunch of super kicks. Anyway, we go backstage to the locker room area. Daniel Bryan approaches Kane, tells him they have to make up for what happened in the ring, and he talked to Vicky and got him a rematch tonight against Randy Orton. Kane was not happy, then seemed kind of happy with Daniel Bryan, and then he's glad to actually hear that Bryan started to leave, but noted one thing. He's the special referee.
To which I went, shenanigans! About to ensue! Yes!
This was a great segment. I wish they had the audio on WWE's YouTube page, but they sadly did not.
Yeah, this was another one of those just great moments between those two, because Brian's being, like, you can tell Brian is completely playing Kane. And it's kind of amazing.
Yep.
Like, you're going to feel bad. I'm going to feel so bad for Kane when they finally do actually do the split. And I'm kind of wondering if this isn't building to the Brian or a Brian Kane feud at some point. Mm-hmm. Because Brian is using Kane and he's playing Kane, and then Kane is eventually going to wise up and realize that, well, Brian's a little troll. And that his little buddy has just been using him.
Right.
And is it wrong? I popped when Kane went, thanks, little buddy.
That was a great line. That really was.
It's like,
as we head to break, the number one contender for the World Heavyweight title made his way to the ring, Dolph Ziggler, but he was alone.
Yeah, where was AJ?
Where was Big E? They were nowhere to be found, but we had Dolph Ziggler versus Jinder Mahal. Jinder dominated early, and then we got some random JBL and Jerry chants from the crowd, but Ziggler wins with the zigzag out of nowhere. After the match, three-man band started to try to corner Dolph Ziggler, but, well, Dolph got away and hit a zigzag on Slater, I believe it was, and then stood tall on the table. That sort of reminded you of the Shield, kind of, huh?
Yeah, I honestly laugh when the three-man band tried to be all Shield-like, and they failed. They failed so miserably. I laughed. Don't get me wrong, I love Drew, but oh my god, no, there is only one Shield. Please don't try to copy them. Mm-hmm. Because you cannot match that level of epic. I'm sorry. It just doesn't happen.
So, apparently, according to somebody, is Daniel Bryan Gilligan, which would make Kane skipper?
Yes. Daniel Bryan is Gilligan. Kane is the skipper.
Who's the millionaire? Who's, you know, the movie star? We pose these questions to you, the audience.
Damian Sandow is the professor.
Damien Sandow's a professor, okay.
Tim's question for Sunday. Caps WWE wrestlers in Gilligan's Island.
There you go.
And go.
And go from there. Apparently AJ would be Marianne.
AJ would be a lot of people's Marianne.
That would work. That indeed would, in fact, work. We got video packages for Bruno Sammartino and Harley Race. Very nice, dude. Very nicely done.
Very nice.
We come back from break, and then we're in the general manager... Well, not the general manager's office. The... What's her title? The, managing supervisor's office. And, well, one of the family walks in.
Why are you stressed for? Nothing has gone wrong. Yet, it's been a great show.
Do you realize that everywhere we are, where the camera in my office, you get all those big men coming around telling me what they want to do, and I'm just like,
hey, Vicky!
Sir?
How's it going? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt. Please, continue. I believe you were just at the point where you were about to make some disparaging comments about my family.
Oh.
Continue.
Not at all, sir. No. That's completely wrong.
I was mistaken.
Yes.
All right, well, let me tell you why I'm here. I came here to tell you I think you're doing a great job with the show tonight.
Thank you.
You know why? Because you're listening to the WWE Universe. You're giving them what they want. Like this champion versus champion match. That's great. This Kane and Randy Orton rematch with Daniel Bryan as the special guest referee. Wonderful.
Well, sir, you know, you gave me some great advice and I'm listening to all your creative ideas. It's just that I'm just a little stressed because other family members are telling me what to do.
You know what I've learned over the years when it comes to the McMahons, Vicky, is you listen to everything they have to say. Let them get it all out, listen to all of it, and then you don't do any of it. You know what you do?
At that point, it should say, you listen to me, but the audio cut out.
Boo.
So, Interesting stuff. The seeds are being planted for what is to come later in the show.
Definitely.
We then got a career retrospective of Mark Henry, which was fantastic.
Oh, yes. Their production is second to none.
It really, really is. So that was a really nice video package there, which led to Randy Orton and Kane with Daniel Bryan as the special referee. The match originally ended in disqualification when Randy Orton shoved Bryan, and Bryan, well, said, that's it, disqualification. And he allowed Kane to get his hand raised, but Kane wanted none of that.
No, Kane, in fact, made him restart the match.
And that is what happened. The match restarted. Randy Orton and Kane one more time. Pretty solid stuff. As JBL and the King were waiting for it, they were waiting for it. The second rope DDT, because it was supposed to be vintage, but it was just a classic move.
To which they were stunned.
They were stunned. Completely stunned that Michael Cole set them up and used a different word. They were not happy. So, we had a big boot to the face of Randy Orton. Kane covers Randy Orton. 1, 2, 3. That's it. Fast count. Kane is your winner via fast count.
Which he wasn't very happy about.
No, Daniel Bryan and Kane argued a bunch. Grabs Daniel Bryan right by the throat. Teases a chokeslam, but kind of sort of backed off and left the ring, and he was not happy. Kane was not happy whatsoever. And then out of nowhere, it was an RKO, a vintage RKO from Randy Orton.
To which him coming up, being on his tippy toes, and doing things, I don't even know what he said to Bryan, but I expect that to be a gif and a meme.
Mm-hmm.
Waiting for it.
I know, it shocks many people out there in the universe that Kane would get angry.
Kane's like the Hulk, he's just angry all the time.
Pretty much, yeah. We then go backstage to Paul Heyman. He's talking with Curtis Axel and CM Punk. Punk said that he just needs Axel to stand on the apron and watch him beat the primetime players by himself. Heyman kind of redirected the discussion, then Punk summed it up like this. He trusts Paul Heyman, but he doesn't trust Curtis Axel. Heyman said he doesn't trust him in 2005, but he used his best judgment. Heyman told Punk to trust him with Axel. This is where you want to say something?
I believe I called this.
I believe you did.
Last night, actually, on Wrestle Talk Radio, I believe I actually called this, and I'm kind of wondering now if Brock Lesnar is the targeted feud, and they're not actually building a feud between Curtis Axel and CM Punk.
Hmm. I think the feud is Brock and Punk, but the side feud could be Axel.
The TV feud could be Axel and Punk, mm-hmm. And that's a good way to sort of... I think it's actually ultimately Heyman's boys against Punk. That's
right.
Probably what the feud will be, but it's a really nice way to legitimize Curtis Axel, is putting him against CM Punk.
True. Very, very true. So we get more hype for Del Rio and Cena later on tonight. And by hype, we get more vintage packages for Bob Backlund and Dusty Rhodes. Serious Dusty Rhodes, not the American Ween, baby. With the polka dots.
Yes, very serious Dusty Rhodes, so yay, polka dots. And that's all I really got to say on that, because I didn't see those two particular promos, but they were just, I'm sure they were excellent, and I will probably see them in the next 5 to 10 minutes, because yeah, I have the Raw recap, or I should say not Raw recap, but the Raw on delay here in Utah, because yeah, my cable company sucks like that. So up next, we have, let me scan down, two, well, hell, the match of the night, the one everybody was looking forward to. Yes, we got the return of Fandango, to which there was mild
Fandango.
Applause.
Fandango.
And he took on Sheamus.
Fandango. Yeah, Fandango's back. Actually, kind of was a highlight of the show. It really kind of was.
Fandango's entrance took longer than the match!
Yeah, pretty much. And
think about it!
Yeah. Fandango loses via countout when Sheamus, giving Sheamus the victory. Fandango seems to always lose by countout. He never wants to take the pinfall.
I guess that's a good thing?
I guess so.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Yeah, it seems like he's back after suffering a concussion. He's been off TV for a couple weeks, and it's like, well, if you want to reestablish him, wouldn't you have him go over? Wouldn't that make sense?
Yeah, it would have made sense, yeah. But, well, Sheamus gets the victory. Up next, we have the Ryback taking on The Miz. And, well, no one cared.
The best thing about this match, other than Miz absolutely beating Ryback into submission, literally, and them not even acknowledging it, was Jericho on commentary.
Jericho was good on commentary. It is Canada Day, after all, so happy Canada Day, everybody. For all those Canadians out there listening to this show.
Eh.
So, yeah, so Ryback quit, basically.
To which all of us who were watching it together kind of went, what the hell? Because it's like, this is the guy that you're trying to build as this unstoppable monster, yet you have The Miz, who they really don't care about as of late, literally beat Ryback into giving up, where he waves off the match and basically says, I'm too hurt to continue. This is your unstoppable monster, and you have him quit, and he's not even in a submission hold. It's like, it's one thing to have Ryback tap out, it's something completely different to have him just be like, oh yeah, I'm done.
So Ryback continues to be a crybaby. After the match, Jericho hit the Codebreaker. This made me scratch my head. If there was any value left in Ryback, it left tonight.
Yeah, they just welcome to officially being a jobber Ryback, because it's enough that he can't get the big win on the pay-per-view, but tonight, nobody's going to buy him after this. Nobody.
Nobody.
It's like, really, you're supposed to be this badass, but yet you quit? I'm sorry, no. This was just, no. I don't know what they're doing with him. I hope they're doing something. This was like, I think it's just like, okay, well, we're going to kill Ryback now.
Pretty much.
I don't know whether they consider him a flop. I don't know whether they want to repackage him. I don't know what the deal is, but yeah, this was just really, really bad.
Pretty much, yeah. We get packages for Ric Flair and Hulk Hogan. Yes, a Hogan video package on Monday Night Raw. That actually
happened. Which wasn't the only interesting video package.
We'll get to that.
We got another one. Yeah, we got another one later, but yes, a Hulk Hogan package on Monday Night Raw.
Hmm.
Very interesting.
Mark Henry came out on the stage. He said, He's the strongest man in the world. Until he earned. Henry said he was in Texas breaking world records. He represented U.S. in the Olympics. He said that he legitimately maintained that status over says ever since he entered WWE 17 years ago. He continued that in a professional environment, there's jealousy, politics, backstabbing, and accidental injuries. Henry said he's earned it all these years. He said they never gave him a legit opportunity despite all the miles traveled and nights spent away from his family. He said he spent all these years pretending to like the boys. He always did the right thing for business. Well, that got me nowhere, he shouted. And damn it, I deserve to be WWE champion. Henry said that after all these years he gave to WWE and all the time he gave to the fans, he's earned the right to be WWE champion. Now at Money in the Bank, no one is going to keep him down. Not anyone. So basically he's telling us the Miz hold him down.
Which was fine. This was a nice little promo.
Right. He said he's going to do the right thing for himself, and after he beats John Cena, no one in the world will be able to deny him. He vowed to win the WWE title from Cena and told the camera to get in his face. He sent a clear message to John Cena at Money in the Bank. I'm going to beat your ass. Great promo.
They should never get... It was a great promo. It was a great moment, but they should never get... that close-up on him ever again. Just pointing that out.
Mm-hmm. I totally agree. We then go backstage for a little bit more of Vicky Guerrero.
I wouldn't want to be John Cena about right now.
No. I mean, Mark Henry's so strong. Mr. McMahon, how are you?
Well, I'm great.
Are you enjoying the show?
Oh, I'm having a blast. Wow. Good. Did you see Daniel Bryan out there earlier?
Yes, sir.
What did I tell you about Daniel Bryan last week? What did I say? What did I say?
That he was small.
Yeah, and?
That he had issues.
Yeah, he has issues.
And you don't like
him. So therefore, you're not listening to me, are you? Neither one of you.
Well, but what I felt, sir,
yeah,
was...
Yeah, I don't really care. We'll do this, though. I'll tell you this. I'll tell you that main event tonight. That's awesome.
Oh,
that's an awesome main event, I got to tell you that. Champion versus champion.
Thank you. That was my idea.
I'm sure it was, yeah. A good one.
And just to let you know, the other family members enjoyed it, too.
Yeah, I bet they did, you know. But they don't understand. Just like you don't understand. See, this is a great main event. Spectacular, magnificent. But you're throwing money away. That main event should be on pay-per-view. Oh, great idea. But what do? You give it away! You give it away for free! Because you don't understand, and other family members don't understand, business. Business. That's all. Just good business.
Oh, I'm sorry, Mr.
Yeah, just remember this, you two. There's a list a mile long of people who were excommunicated, fired, or literally bodily thrown out of the building by me because they wouldn't listen and they wouldn't do what I say. Enjoy the rest of your evening.
Well, Vince wasn't happy that they're giving this away for free.
Vince, honey, I hate to break this to you, but I'm pretty sure not a lot of people would pay for that. I just want to point that out. I know I wouldn't pay for it. I know pretty much everybody on this network wouldn't pay for it. So, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know this whole thing. It's like I get Vince is supposed to be the antagonist of this situation, but it's like when you want to sit there and he's talking about business and doing what's good for business and burying Daniel Bryan, and it's like it just when he starts to bury Daniel Bryan, who's one of the most over guys they have, and I understand this is all storyline. and then he's talking about doing what's good for business. It's like, you're contradicting yourself.
Pretty much, yeah.
Just a smidge. So yeah, this was they're setting. You can see what they're doing, Vicky, up in the impossible scenario of you have three voices above you that are telling you what to do, and you don't know who to listen to.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to get a little bit more into that in just a minute or two. Up next, CM Punk, Curtis Axel take on the prime time players. Punk lets Axel start. And then Axel really wouldn't let Punk back into the match. But he eventually got the tag, hit the Macho Man style elbow, hits the GTS, about to go for the cover, but Axel tags himself in and pins Darren Young for the victory.
No, there was no Punk let Axel start.
Okay, he sort of started, yeah. He let him start, in quotations.
Basically, Axel tagged himself in, and Punk was forced to let Axel start.
Right, okay. Let him start, in quotations. That better?
Yes.
So, CM Punk and Curtis Axel get the win. Punk was not happy. Heyman was, you know, come on, join the celebration, Punk. Wanted none of it. So there's a little strain in the friendship. A little bit.
Little tension. And this is why I say I think they're kind of building to that Punk Axel feud a little, you know, at least for TV, since Brock can't be there every week. Is that basically the Axel diff Punk, which Punk doesn't like. If one doesn't do anything, it's you don't defy CM Punk. So that created tension, plus you have the dick move by Curtis of stealing the pin after Punk has hit the GTS. But the highlight of this match really was Punk yelling at Heyman.
Mm-hmm.
Make him tag me, Paul!
Yeah, that was good.
That was hilarious.
So Punk and Axel get the victory. Heyman was awesome. We then got vignettes for Stone Cold Steve Austin's WWE title reign, and then one for the man they call Sting.
Yeah. So we've now had a Hogan promo, and we've now had a Sting promo. I was honestly waiting for an Angle one. I really was.
They may have
like, come on,
it on
show
the,
Kurt Angle.
They may have shown it on the app. They were teasing they were going to show more on the app, so.
I honestly wouldn't be surprised. I think this is just another nice little subtle shot at TNA.
A little bit.
Just a little bit.
We then move on to our next contest. Alicia Fox takes on Caitlyn.
You blinked and you missed.
Caitlyn wins with the spear. Is the best way to put it. But after the match, things, well, they got interesting.
Here's the Divas champ. I already see the wheels turning in her head. Who? AJ.
Hi, Katie. Hi, Katie Kaboom. Now, last SmackDown, you tried to assassinate my character, and I didn't appreciate that. Because you know what they say about living in glass houses and throwing stones. You don't want to do it. No. See, I said it before, and I'll say it again. You're just trash. I know it. This guy knows it. And all these people are about to know it, because I don't know if you remember those unsavory modeling pictures you took before you came to the WWE. When you were broke and young and desperate. Well, I brought one. I'm sorry, everybody. I'm sorry. I know that you cannot unsee that. But this was a necessary measure because I wanted to remind you of where you came from, Caitlin. And after you lose your rematch at Money in the Bank, where are you going to end up again?
Now, what she showed was a fat woman with Caitlyn's head on it.
Which was wrong. This was really, really wrong.
Yeah. And I'm not going to say what I called the picture, but if you kind of should figure that one out. If you heard the rumblings of thunder.
Yeah, pretty much, but... And no Kinkins. I would not go as far as to say AJ is the new Laycool and Caitlyn is the new Mickey.
No.
This is girl feuding 101 is really what it is. This is how girls fight.
Right.
It takes us a while to come to blows. Instead, we do everything under the sun to embarrass each other before we come to blows. So, yeah. But... I actually was a little disappointed with this just because I want to see AJ do something more clever.
Right.
It's like, after you have her pull that secret admirer stunt on Caitlyn, which was brilliant, this is kind of a letdown. It's like, really?
It was a little bit of a letdown, yeah.
You want to look at her and go, it's like, girl, you're better than this.
Mm-hmm.
Although, I'm curious to know what Dolph's reaction will be to it, because, well, he told her to forget about it.
Mm-hmm. And, it was on WWE.com. He was kind of not thrilled with what she had planned, so we shall see where that relationship goes. We then move on backstage.
Right, but do you want me to reply, or just...
Just do what I asked, Frank. Simple. How are you?
I'd be better. What was that?
I was doing an email.
That's right. You weren't even watching your own show.
I was doing...
If you were, you would have seen what happened with AJ. A situation that I asked you to personally manage 2 weeks ago.
But you asked for this email.
But you didn't listen. Just like last week when I asked you to name all of the All-Star Money in the Bank ladder match participants. But no... I had to do it.
I am trying my best between Triple H and your dad and you in my head. I mean, my head's getting ready to explode, and I'm trying to do everything I can in my mind to be just going nuts.
Okay, that's fair. That's definitely fair, Vicky. I've been there before.
I'm really trying my best.
Relate.
This is really tough.
You know, I understand. You know, I absolutely do. It's one of the things that's so fantastic and special about Raw is how unpredictable it is. I mean, literally anything can happen. But when you're getting confusing direction from the top, I mean, how can you do your job well?
Oh, Stephanie, I'm so glad
I can
you
relate to you. I mean, really, how can I help you?
Well, first of all, thank you for listening to me and understanding where I'm coming from. It's just that, you know, us as women, I mean, it's very difficult, you know, working in a male-dominated environment. I mean,
true.
I mean, my gosh, I mean, they say that women send mixed signals. I mean, have you seen your dad and Triple H? They're all crazy over there. You know, I mean, we're so strong, and the women, just, you know, these men over here. It's like
Are you trying to be funny?
Yeah.
When did we become girlfriends, Vicky? I'm here for you in a business capacity.
I'm sorry.
And quite frankly, I don't appreciate you making fun of my husband and my father or trying to play one of us off the other. You know, I mean, I do agree with you. You deserve to have specific direction and guidance. You need to know exactly where you stand. So therefore, next week on Raw, we are going to have an official job evaluation. And we're going to do it publicly in the middle of the ring.
Oh, but that's...
Vicky, you could be promoted. You could become the official general manager of Raw.
Well, I would really appreciate that.
Or you could lose your job altogether. It's like I said, it's the most beautiful thing about Raw. It's unpredictable. You just never know what's going to happen next.
And here's where we have the McMahon's rest power from Vicky.
It's coming.
It is. It really is. You can tell. It's like, here we go. Vicky's basically going to lose her job, and somebody in the McMahon family will get the power.
The question is, which McMahon?
Well, I guess they'll have to fight for it, won't they?
Quite possibly. Up next, Cody Rhodes with Damian Sandow took on Antonio Cesaro, who had Zeb Coulter and a returning Jack Swagger by his side. Cesaro won. Solid match.
Very solid match. And that's all I'm going to say, because I would want to rant on Zeb Coulter.
But you don't feel like ranting on Zeb Coulter?
Well, it's more... it's a smart-ass comment that, you know, he's like, you need to... we're in a war or something, and you need to pick your side. Yeah, I'm going to side with the people who aren't racist and bigots, and I understand the same thing, and homophobes. Because, honestly, them taking the shot at the Supreme Court decision, yeah, that was a little low.
A little bit.
Just a little bit. You know, still a little new. I understand why they did it. He did it to get heat. But, honestly, it's like, great. Not only is he a racist, he's homophobic, too. Wonderful.
So Cesaro won. We then have video packages for Triple H as the WWE Champion and Booker T as the WCW World Heavyweight Champion. Bella's talked with the rest of the Divas. I don't know what to really say about that. But Lindsay, they're coming next week.
They are coming.
The Wyatts... debut.
They get the Wyatts.
The Wyatts debut next week on Raw. It was confirmed. We then
by Bray on no, I want to talk about this for a second before we move on, goddammit.
I was going to close out the show with the thing.
Okay, fine.
Because they closed out show, so I was going to...
I know. Anyway.
Del Rio took on John Cena. Fine match.
Perfectly fine match. Well done.
And then
the closing was better.
The finish was really good. You had Mark Henry come out, distracted John Cena for a bit. He didn't do nothing. Dolph Ziggler came out, distracted Del Rio, allowing Cena to hit the AA on Del Rio for the victory. And then Mark Henry played a little bit with John Cena, which was hilarious. He looked like he was going to hit him with the belt, then thought, and Cena backed off. He dropped the belt. Cena went to pick it up. Looked like he was going to go after Cena. Cena backed off again. Cena's scared of Mark Henry.
Who wouldn't be scared of Mark Henry? Seriously! Like, when Henry stomped at Cena, he jumped, like, 6 feet back.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm surprised he didn't fall out of the ring.
So now... you figured Raw would close with that. But no, they went back to ringside and... the announcer said, one more time, the Wyatts are coming next week. And we got a little bit more rocking back and forth with the rocking chair all alone. Take it away.
Even the rocking chair gets its own promo. It's amazing.
Talk about
you can tell how big this, or how behind they are the how behind the Wyatts they are. Mm-hmm. Because they've been heavily promoted, but they, particularly tonight, were very heavily promoted. And the fact that the last thing you see on Monday Night Raw, the last thing you hear about on Monday Night Raw, is not John Cena and Mark Henry. It is the fact that next week we are getting the Wyatt family, and they closed with the promo.
Mm-hmm.
When was the last time they did that?
I can't remember.
This is going to be an interesting debut, because this is going to be big.
It's going to be
management
huge.
Is 100% behind them, and you can tell.
Mm-hmm. So, next week's going to be really interesting, because it'll be the go-home to Money in the Bank and the Wyatt's debut.
So what kind of impact will the Wyatts have, and who will they go after first?
Zack Ryder.
No, I can't see Zack Ryder, but...
Alex Riley.
No. No, they're going to give them somebody big to feud with. If...
They're probably going to beat up, like, the Primo and Epico, probably. That's probably how it's going to happen.
Probably.
So I'm looking forward to next week.
It should be very, very, very interesting.
So
I can't wait.
So that's going to do it for us here on the Raw Post Show, because that's 3 hours of Raw. The positive is they promoted the pay-per-view like hell.
And the Wyatts like hell.
And the Wyatts are coming. The Wyatts are coming. So, that being said, this has been another edition of the Raw Post Show Live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Tomorrow night, it is Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with Alan Wojcik at 9 p.m. Eastern. He'll be speaking to King Shane Williams, J.J. Dillon, and apparently there's going to be a return of a co-host on that show.
Really?
I'm just reading Facebook messages. That's what he said, man. A co-host will return to Kayfabe Wrestling Radio tomorrow night to talk probably about more Florida indie wrestling. So that co-host
but
is they probably...
They could surprise us.
They
could surprise us.
They could.
And they could talk about Nashville.
They could talk about Nashville. They could talk about Nashville. They probably will be talking about Nashville. They'll be talking about all things. A co-host returns to Kayfabe Wrestling Radio. That's right. Nick Anthony returns. No. Never. Ever gonna happen. Anyway, Wednesday night, there is no Cheap Heat Radio. They're taking the night off. But Thursday night, it will be the Independence Day Spectacular, known as the RAC.
Yes, tune in Thursday night. We're going to be talking all about TNA's impact from Las Vegas, what happens, who gets a title, who doesn't, who's part of my Main Event Mafia. I'm trying to remember the spoilers off the top of my head, and I can't! But anyway, tune in for our Impact Review, because apparently it's very, 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 very exciting. So, and also discussions, news, notes. I'm doing a horrible job of running my own show. But tune in and listen to The RAC. Thursday nights, 11 p.m. Eastern, right here, wildtalkradio.com.
And rockradioshow.com. Saturday night, midnight edition, CB Radio with myself, Ron Parks, and Subway. We talk about the weird, the wacky, the unusual. It's Subway's birthday, so you never know what's going to happen. Plus, we'll be playing Cards Against Humanity before the show, most likely, because that's sort of what we do now. Sunday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, it's Wrestle Talk Radio with Tim Stein, Mace, and the Omega. Which out of the three will show up? Most likely Omega. Who else? Tune in and find out. Hopefully it's a Tim Stein, and hopefully Mace gets his internet back so they can do the show Sunday at 10 p.m. Eastern. We'll be back for another edition of Raw Post Show Live right here at 11:30 p.m. Eastern next Monday night. Follow us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Join the Facebook group at Facebook.com/group/Wild Talk Radio Network. Lindsay.
Follow me on Twitter at LinsWard, LinsWard. Go to my website, psych4designs.com. Go to castyriley.net for all your Casty Riley needs. And check out my DeviantArt, linsward.deviantart.com.
You plugged your the other thing?
Not yet.
Not yet? You're not plugging that one tonight?
Not tonight.
This has been another edition of the Raw Post Show live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, presented by PWMania@memlanepromo.com. So for Lindsay Warnock, so rockin', we'll see you next Monday, and we'll see you Thursday for the Rock right here live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.